Hello and welcome to Red or Dead, our brand new podcast from Verge Magazine. A new format, a new show that we have to be able to discuss all things Liverpool FC, as everyone knows, and all the time I'm mentioning on every interview and podcast that we have that I support Liverpool, whether it be F1, NFL, or whatever we're doing. I always mention that ride or die for my team. So I thought I would actually start a new podcast, you know, for fans to be able to discuss all things Liverpool, all of our hopes, dreams, fears, and worries, and all of that type of stuff. We're still in celebration mode because obviously we are champions. Just reminding everyone of that. But you know, let's talk about the new season and what we're impressed with and all things we're worried about, all those types of things. But I'm joined here with my two buddies, my pals, my amigos, my friends. I will let them introduce themselves. Kazan, let's go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, cheers. That's about the fifth intro you've done, isn't it? Finally got it right, though. Well done. I also like the way you introed it. Like, we are Liverpool fans. We've been fans for ages, right? Decades.
Yeah.
And we've been mates for quite a while now. There's three
feels very like decades.
It feels like decades. Three very different dynamics here. We've got, like, Dre, who is super emotional, I would say. Like, you were crying when we won the league, right? Don't deny it. We were all
that's,
there.
That's facts.
We saw the tears live.
That's facts.
Yeah.
And then Ernie is like the super positive one. Just like, oh, everything's fine. Everything's fine, bro. Don't worry, bro. It's fine. We got this. No matter what the result, 5-0 down, we got this. It's fine. And I say, I would consider myself the realist. I'm like
the pessimist.
No, 100%.
The realist guy in the room. I'm the one that always calls it the way it is. Like, I don't, you know, if it's good, it's good. If it's bad, it's bad. But I think as a three, you need that dynamic. So this is really interesting.
Yeah, you know, we're like a traffic light. Do you know what I mean? One stop, one's kind of in between, and one's all go, go, go.
Wait, who's
kind
red of then? Who's stop?
You are.
Right, then. Well, Mr. Greenlight, why don't you introduce yourself then?
Okay, Mr. Greenlight. Hi, guys. My name is Ellie. I'm a business consultant and also an editor, but I do more of the consulting side at the moment. But I would say that, you know, most of my life, a lot like these other guys, is just absolutely surrounded around Liverpool Football Club and what they do on a day-to-day and what they don't do on a day-to-day. So, you know, I met these guys on a press trip a few years back now. Like I said, it feels like we've been friends for decades. And one of the things that we got to get on anyway, but one of the things that really brought us together was Liverpool Football Club. And I think that's one of the beauty of A, football, and B, especially Liverpool as a club. It's just more of a family than just a football club. And and since then we set up a WhatsApp group on that very trip. And you know, you'd be surprised, it's called Liverpool FC. And we pretty much talk inventive name there. Yes, I mean, we've pretty much been talking about everything Liverpool since then. And yes, that's me.
This is the live version of the WhatsApp group, basically, isn't it?
Exactly. This is it. We literally are doing what we would do anyway. And we literally talk about all transfer news or players that we really would love to be able to have, performance of some we would like to be able to get rid of, using my famous emoji where I boot the person in the sky. And, you know, all of those things. So, obviously, we've had a very short off season. I feel that we haven't really got to, you know, kind of settle in as champions, you know, for long, which I don't really think is too fair. But, you know, okay, so right, there's nothing we can do about, obviously, the global pandemic before anyone starts moaning about, there's other things more important than football. Well, yes, there is, but, you know, obviously it had an effect. So for me personally, I don't know about you guys, is that I feel it's like, you know, I could have done with another 2 weeks of there being off season. I feel like the preseason has come around just like it feels like just, you know, well, it technically came when the old season was still going. The new season was we're getting ready when the Champions League final was being played, and you know, I feel, you know, for me, like it, you know, it's come around really quickly, and I'm quite worried that it's come around too quick for the players too, but. What do you guys feel, obviously, about pre-season so far?
For starters, I'm glad it has come around quick. I don't want to see England play another game. Like they just drew. Oh, did you see the game just now? Nil-nil. The most boring game.
Unfortunately, mate.
They played with three defensive midfielders, and that's meant to entertain us in the summer when there's a lockdown. Forget that. So I'm glad we've moved on from that. I'm glad that proper football's back, because there is only really the Premier League and Champions League. Mm-hmm. So, but I agree with your point that in terms of Liverpool's preseason, it's not been great. And we've been talking about the friendlies. I think we've won most of them, but it's been kind of up and down performances, nothing to really write home about. And then the Arsenal game.
I'm joking. Tell me where I'm wrong. We did win 7-2.
We won 7-2, but being 2-0 down. 2-0 down against Blackpool.
No, I'm only playing. I agree. No, I actually agree with you on this one. Yeah, 100%.
But I think the real problem is, like, we haven't done any signings. I think we've spoken about that. We haven't signed anyone. We haven't strengthened. I was reading something about, you know, when United were dominating, they were signing players like Rio Ferdinand. They were signing players like Ruud van Nistelrooy, Van Persie. They strengthened at the top. Chelsea, you've done it as well. And Man City after that as well. We have not done it. We haven't even got close to doing it.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely.
Yeah, what's worse still is we used to do that. I mean, I saw an old clip from, I think it might have even been the Shankly days, but they were saying that one of the reasons that Liverpool stayed on top is that we always signed. And that was, we always knew what to sign and how to sign. It wasn't like we always went over, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 players, but we just strengthened key areas to keep the dressing room competitive. I mean, I was saying that one of the pre-season, if we can call it that, is the Charity Shield. We won't go into that too much. But one of the things that I noticed, especially from the end of last year, is how well Andy Robertson played. And then for me, that was no coincidence that we suddenly signed an actually decent left-back, Tsimikas. And the next thing we know, Robbo's playing our best player when he's been probably, and I think he'd probably admit that, subpar for the last 7, 8 months, you know. So that just goes to show what competition in the squad can do for us. And I think especially the front three, we are sorely lacking.
I'd probably push back on Robertson not playing well for such a long time. I would say since the restart, he hasn't been himself. When we came back, for some reason, obviously I think it's kind of difficult for once we clinched the title, for some reason, you know, it's just literally like the guys were just like, all right, you know what, I just kind of switched off. And maybe it's a lot to deal with having that, you know, high intensity for that long a period of time. And then you've achieved that goal. And then it's just like, we've got, you know, about 8 0 games to be able to play.
I think part of the problem was that Henderson got injured and Naby Keita came in.
Oh, come on, man.
Here he goes.
We're
going to go over the backstory with this
one. I forgot to say in the intro that this is also like the Naby Keita fan club here with me on this podcast. <'cause it's> like, the guy can't do any wrong according to these guys. To be fair, it's not him. It is the team as a whole after lockdown. And like you say, Dre, after clinching the title, I think there's been a downturn in form. And part of that is because there's no one challenging that established 11 for their places.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Dre, you say about Robbo not being great, or being all right only after, not being good after lockdown, but pre-lockdown he wasn't great either. I know I'm being a little bit harsh because he was carrying apparently a recurring foot injury. And we couldn't rest him because we didn't even have a backup. So that's another reason in some ways, I suppose, where having another quality backup might have actually helped him play better in just by allowing to get some rest from the injury that he was carrying, but he had to play to because we basically had no one else. And if Milner's injured, that was it on that side of the pitch. But all in all, I'd say pre-season has been actually kind of a normal-ish pre-season in terms of the results for us, because I can't recall a pre-season where we've just smashed everyone. For a long time. I know we've always had a couple of good results in there.
Oh my God, yeah.
Like when we beat Barcelona 4-0, do you remember? And then went and played Mainz or so on in Germany. I can't remember which team it was, and lost 4-0 the next game. So, you know, that's just a typical Liverpool pre-season. So I'm not all that surprised in truth. I'm not all that concerned, but the lack of signings does kind of unnerve me, I'd say.
For me, like the pre-season is all about, now I've had to kind of change my way of thinking. Pre-season is all about fitness, to give these guys a run out, to make sure that they are adapting with the new way or new systems that we're running. Obviously, well, I know now, and I think you guys would agree, that any signing that comes doesn't just plug in straight away, usually, except for obviously Van Dijk, that's the only one. Because at the end of the day is that you have to learn the system, you have to learn how what Klopp wants, what he demands of you. And then obviously we've got not just one system, we've got about three different systems that we play. So I think we've Robertson.
I don't think we are that flexible. I think that's the problem.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think we've got that many systems.
We've got 4-3-2-1. We got that system.
I think he wants to play it, but he hasn't got the players.
Like, I think ever since we lost Coutinho, we haven't had that option of mixing up the front and having that creative player in that front lineup. And I think that's where I know we've been crying out for a number 10 for the longest time. And I think that's the most disappointing fact about the preseason, that we haven't even looked at anyone like that. It's all been talking about replacing Ginny, who looks like he's on his way out, with Thiago, which now doesn't look like that's going to happen anyway. And there's no one coming into that number 10 slot that we badly need.
Yeah, because I mean, I remember when Shaq first came in, he used to play Shaq in that. Remember, he played a double six.
Holding. And then with the 4-3-2-1?
Exactly. And that at least was something else. And that actually, it gave us a bit of something, you know, it gave us another dimension. But I agree with Cass a little bit, is that even though we did have that as an option, we couldn't really use it. And hence, we became overly predictable. It was literally, get it to the wing back cross. Get it to the wing back cross. Get it to the wing back cross. And then that was all we did, literally. Mm. And it was like, and teams just got used to it. Like, all right, let them have it. Let's just make sure we've got all the defenders back in the box. Let's win everything that comes in. We can let them. They're not going to go through the middle, so we don't even have to worry about that. That's why I've been banging on about it. But I think Naby is a key player, because he is one of those who likes to actually add some probe through the middle of the park, which just changes the dimension and gets defenders at least thinking. It just gives us a little bit of a different dimension when we play, which I don't think any of the midfielders currently do at the moment.
I mean, let's go into, you know, because obviously, you know, you guys are alluding to that. Obviously, we'll talk about the signing we actually have made. I'm trying to, I'm really bad at pronouncing these different, you know, tricky names. Who's gonna give it a try?
Oh, you already, Eli, you already said it. Go on.
Yeah, it's Kostas Tsimikas, apparently, or something like that. So I think the T is like a silent T, but, you know, we'll give it a go. We'll roll with that. That'll work for this, the purpose of this.
I like that. That was very smoothly done.
Yeah, and exited as well, straight out.
The flight. Well, I mean, he was our first signing, you know, so our first signing for a long period of time. Obviously, we signed Minamino at the start of the year. I do think that we do, you know, these are the ones that actually have signed, you know, I think Minamino now is starting to implement himself into the actual system. Obviously, we'll go into that in a second. But I feel that maybe rather than just having a Coutinho number 10 who's just going to shoot from outside the box, I think, what would you guys say with the first play that we've actually signed this year, calendar year, you know, Minamino, do you feel now from what you've seen in pre-season that he's ready, you know, you can see why we've bought him and he's ready to actually be put in the side?
Like, I can see him like coming in for any of the front three when they're out and when they're out of form, or when we've got African Cup of Nations as well potentially at the start of next year, and that would mean Salah and Mane going as well. So
I think they've come back a year actually.
Has he gone back another year?
Yeah, but
like obviously if they lose form or if they're injured, then you can put him in there. He's not going to start in place of any of them. But you know, I think they need a bit of a kick out the backside, quite frankly.
Massively. Yeah, because I think, and I agree, I think that what we could actually do is play him, I know you alluded to it, as a bit more of a number 10, because I like it. Sometimes, I remember we used to play, again, it was more when Coutinho was there, but Salah was kind of through the middle a little bit. And I think that if we play with a Salah as more of a central striker, it might have to sacrifice someone like a Firmino from time to time. But I could honestly see the way things have been going at the moment, Klopp looking at just changing up the front three. Because, I mean, I think Klopp wants more players, but he's also looking at it and say, okay, if I don't get those players, how else can I shake up what I've got to provide a different attacking threat? You know, and I remember he used to toy with maybe having Mane in the middle sometimes and Salah out wide and then, you know, that kind of thing. And I think with Minamino, he gives us another option behind the striker, almost like a second striker. That you can, I mean, we saw for example, the Blackpool game, one of the good things was the way that he played with Firmino when they kind of played together. And therefore, you could have someone like, if you had two sort of probing creative attacking second striker type players. And then you had like a Salah up front against teams that like to sit back. That definitely is another option worth looking at. And I think Klopp is kind of just looking for that answer, to be honest.
I think that there's definitely, and I agree with Kassam, like, you know, it's quite, it was getting to a point where it's quite obvious to where, you know, the way that we were playing. You know, I think that, you know, if you look at Atletico, even Arsenal the other day, it was like pretty much like, you know, all right, okay, you guys can swing in these crosses all you want, especially when Trent's not playing, then, you know, we'll just make sure that we flood the box and just take our chances. You know, and because we don't have a Andy Carroll or Alan Shearer or someone like that who's just going to dominate and just knock someone over like Skittles to be able to head the ball in, then I think that it you know, it can get a bit repetitive and it's easier to defend. So I do think that the Minamino is actually going to, you know, now be showing Klopp that he can let go of Shaq. Even though it's a shame because Shaq's...
He's already let go of Shaq. He let go of Shaq in the last season.
Yeah, to be honest, Shaq...
I was trying to be nice about it.
Shaq's been going for a long time. You know,
well, like, I got tired of this whole saga. And you know, I don't know if you guys agree with this whole thing, the same thing. It's just like, sell him. If you don't want him, sell him. And then let's get someone else in. Now, I would like there to be like, it was quite clear, Moreno, you know, Lallana, like your ass is on the bench and you ain't playing. You know, we're not interested in you. But I always feel like there was like, you know, all of a sudden then Shaq like would play. Exactly. Well, all of a sudden Shaq will play in the Merseyside derby and score a goal. And you're like, whoa, my God, like we need, this is what we need. You know, this is great. But then next thing you know, he's like, all right, Go back in the stands now, you know. So I'll be happy for them to actually have people in the squad who are actually going to play. What do you guys feel about obviously, you know, as we discussed before, the what you've seen of the new signing, be it from YouTube or whatever, you know, what do you think he can actually bring to the team?
I think he's a good option off the bench. I think he's definitely a good option coming in when Robertson's not on form. Or I don't know. I mean, they're still toying with the idea. I don't know how serious he is about moving Trent into that role, creative midfield. It seems to be more England pundits that want that to happen than Liverpool fans or Liverpool pundits, because obviously England doesn't have that creative player either. Like, Jack Grealish ain't going to be the answer to that. Foden, I don't think he's going to make it either. And now they keep thinking that Trent is going to move forward and be that creative player. And so then we do need players who can play on the wings if we do that. I think we're a million miles away from doing that, though. So I don't think we're going to need to worry too much about this guy at the moment. But he does look good from what I've seen.
Yeah, I mean, from what I've seen as well, let's look at it this way. From Olympiacos, he's used to winning. He's played Champions League. You know, he's played against top opposition. He's a confident guy. And you can tell from the interviews I've seen anyway that he believes that he is very much worthy of that number one spot. And I can tell by Robbo's interview when you heard him talking about his position and saying he's going to have to fight to keep that place, that he's very well aware about this guy's talents, which is why, again, I talked about it earlier, but, you know, the Arsenal game, when Robbo, like I said, it was definitely, it's definitely his best performance posted since lockdown. And I think there's no surprises that since this guy's turned up and shown, okay, I'm a bit of a threat too, that you know, that he's upped his game. So I think he could be one of those that at least now, when, for example, I think the way to look at it is, like, let's contrast it with our right back situation. Now, you look at Neco Williams as the backup to Trent. Now,
oh man, been him.
Yeah, well, see what I mean?
But, you see this. You can't do that.
That's the realist.
You cannot do that, Kassam. He's a young star.
You know what I mean? He's 12. Young. Let him
He's not that young. He's not even that young, is he?
19. Okay, 19, right? Yeah, come on,
Trent,
man.
Was winning, like, Champions Leagues and stuff.
But Trent's a freak. And that's why... Anyway, so... But all I'm trying to say is that I think having... Look at the quality of Tsimikas compared to someone like Aneka. I think that's what we need. You look at most top teams in the world, they have at least two top players in every position. And I think we talked about this last summer, that one of our greatest fears is that we didn't have enough backup in our starting 11. We were all pretty much sure about and happy and confident in the quality of that. But after that, we were all like, okay, we look a bit sketchy. And one of those positions was left back. So I'm glad we finally address that issue at least. And
yeah, we got tired of seeing Milner.
Being plugged in there.
I mean, look, to be fair, he actually, you know, he did as best as he possibly could, and he wasn't that bad because obviously we've seen some really. If you've been a Liverpool fan for as long as I have been, you've seen some horror shows. You know, so you know, it the drop off wasn't, you know, all of that, but like obviously with Robbo is a world class left back. I haven't seen something like him in a long, long time. I'm hoping that this new guy can actually. I think from what I've seen, he's got more. He's better. He doesn't just give and go. I think he's actually good at just taking on players and actually coming in the middle as well. And actually, he's got a good pass on him too. And then obviously, Robbo scores some freak goals now and again with his head. But like, you know, as a goal scoring threat, he's not like Trent. Where Trent, you know, if you think about the Leicester finish, that was just natural. Wonderful. You know, that those types of things as well. So yeah, so I'm glad that we've got that situation, you know, kind of taken off. But let's get onto the main. This is where there will be an argument. The main bone of contention. You know, Genie. It looks like it's going to be Genie out at the moment from the press. And at the moment, it was supposed to be Thiago in, but it's like no one in. So what is your guys' view on what the hell is going on with this?
We're skin.
I mean, that's just...
The champions of England with like a multi-million pound deal with Nike are skin. And that's why we can't... They're talking about selling Brewster now just to raise 20 million so that they can get Thiago in or someone else in.
Mm.
I think... that's going to be a mistake in itself. I'm sure we can talk about that. But like, it seems like they have to sell someone to get someone in, which is like, that's an awful position to be in when you've just won the league, Champions League before that. And the final before that, we must have some money somewhere. I don't know where they've been hiding it, but there's some money gone missing somewhere.
I mean, I looked at the accounts and I saw some guy, he's obviously either high up in finance or well-versed in accounting, and then break it down. And that's my background too. So it kind of, and I must admit, when he broke it down, it did make a lot of sense why they haven't got the money. But he could have just cut all of that out, all the analysis of the accounts and all that, and just said, other clubs' owners are putting their own money in and ours aren't. And that's what it comes down to, really. Other people's, the reason they're spending is their owners are putting the money in. The reason we're not is because ours aren't. And that's as simple as it is, you know.
And, I mean, we're in a similar situation and we're doing it like Arsenal used to do under Wenger. Like, they're trying to run it like a self-sustaining business when City and Chelsea and Man United are not playing the same game. And obviously, it's the genius of Klopp that we've managed to keep it going this far. But we're going to get caught out at some point. If they don't start investing, we're going to get caught out.
And I think, you know what? I genuinely believe this, and this is my general belief. And I'm saying this now. I think we're going to go on a shopping spree in the next 2 weeks. Before the window closes, we're going to go on a shopping spree. And hear me out here. I think we've got a lot of players on the fringe that I think will still go. I think the likes of, you know, the Harry Wilsons of this world and even Shaq, for example. And you think all it takes is a couple of those players to go. And that could be, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 million if you add it up. We want 20 million for these guys. I'm not saying we're going to get it. If you add in Genie into the mix as well, that's another what? They're looking between 15 and 20. Whatever we get from him, okay. But I believe that Thiago, in personally, I do think that we've already signed Thiago. I think we've gone the self, not signed as in, but the agreement's in place and ready to move once the Barcelona situation gets clarified with Genie, which I think has been on hold because of the international break, mainly because obviously everyone's all over the place. So they can't even do any medicals or any, you know, reveals or anything like that. So I think now the internationals are done, I genuinely believe that, you know, because Barcelona's was hinging on Vidal going to Inter, and it looks like that's done, right? So once he's out, then Genie will go. And once that's done, obviously we'll get Thiago in. You know, a few of the local journalists have finally started piping up about some transfer activity rather than saying, we don't need to sign anyone. They've actually said, look, you know, Liverpool are trying to offload players and they believe that there'll be a big spree towards the end of the window. And I'm inclined to believe them because there haven't been anything anywhere near positive towards transfers so far. So why would they be now if it wasn't truth in it?
But spending 20, 25 million on Thiago is not a big spree. That's bare bones. Like for like replacement. If Ronaldo goes, who else do you think
that's
would
the
be
start
part
of it? Though.
Yeah, yeah. But who else do you think is part of the big spree then?
Okay. By big spree, I mean, I think I do believe we're going to go for it. Ismaïla Sarr, and I'll be honest, I do rate, like Dre said about Shaq, you know, it's obvious Klopp wasn't feeding him for a while. And for whatever reason, we don't know. It could have been a similar situation to Saka. Remember when Saka just got axed one day and we never really saw him again. You know, we rated him, but Klopp said nah, and that was it, dashed. And it seemed to be a little bit that similar situation with Shaq, whatever it might be. Now, if he's not going to play, we might as well offload and get someone in that can play. And at least Sarr offers pace. That's why I like Tsimikas, similar kind of thing, is that they both have pace. And pace in the Premier League is just a nightmare for anyone. You know, the teams that tend to do well are the teams that have a lot of pace in their sides. And as our team is aging, you look at, I mean, he's not old, but you look at Salah compared to when he first arrived. You know, he doesn't seem to quite have the same acceleration away from defenders that he used to. And having someone like Sarr to bring off the bench just to scare the living daylights out of some defenders when they're tired, I think would be a good option. So I think that'd be one. I also believe we'd be looking at a centre-back for sure to replace Lovren. I can't, Klopp was bemoaning having four centre-backs last year. And now we've got four senior centre-backs. Now we've got three. And so I can't imagine him settling for that, you know, by the time the season starts. We'll surely get somebody. And the way we go, we'll probably end up getting some rogue from, you know, someone from, I don't know, the Slovenian
Southampton.
League. No one's
why someone about. From Southampton again?
or Southampton, or, you know. but yeah, we'll get someone. Like, we've got Klavan in. You know, it'll be that kind of signing, I think. You know,
rugby. All right, but here's, sorry to cut you, but here's why I'm sitting with Kassam on this one. Is what I'm worried about, and I wouldn't say, well, I don't think we're broke. I think that they're trying to run the business, because that's what it is, in a sustainable way. Now, I do remember that we have, obviously, as you looked, you know, a stadium that we're extension that we're paying off. We've got a new one that we're doing that we're budgeting for. Because everyone's been moaning about the Anfield Road section for a long period of time, and it looks weird. We've got this little ass stand and two and three big gigantic stands. It just looks weird. And hopefully that means that we can actually put the other fans up in the gods, just like they do with Newcastle. we've got an amazing, as you guys have seen, a training centre, training ground in Kirby is serious. Like, come on, that's just something to be proud of. I've been to Tottenham's. You know, and Tottenham's was out of this world. It was like a little village. So, and then this is supposed to be shitting on that. So there's money spent, and I think that the actual owners are actually putting their money in investing in the actual grounds of the club. But obviously, what we want to do is we, and I think I'll probably speak for all of us here, is that we're worried that the progress that we've actually made, where we finally have got the league, we don't want to be a Leicester and just win it once and then just, you know, not win it for another long time. You know, it would be nice if whilst we have the Klopp era, we can actually maximise that and actually win it maybe 2-3 times. And that would be great. Because in the days that these, what I'll say on the other side is that these other teams can actually, like Chelsea, can buy all of these players, but it's going to take time for them to be able to gel. We got them quite early. So therefore, I think what we've got in the second game,
Yeah, they're our second game in.
Right, so we got them second game in. If we give them a good pasting, then actually they'll see how far they've got to go. Chemistry with this team that Klopp is actually put together is everything. Everyone knows each other inside and out. I would push back on Kassam saying that Genie and Thiago are like for like. I think they're two different types of players. Personally, I would rather keep Genie because obviously he's used to the system, pay him whatever he needs to be paid. At the end of the day, players now, just because if you give him a 3-year, 4-year contract, then, you know, 3 or 4 years with Genie, you're not getting a drop off like, you know, he's going to start being a pensioner. Like Milner, still, you know, more fit than majority of these players out there, you know. But at the end of the day, is that you're comparing it to the best, and I just think that it would be nice if we could top up. There are some good players coming through. I think Nico Williams needs a lot of time before he's seen back again. I'm not saying he's terrible, because he's not, because obviously we've seen against Arsenal, against Everton, that he's really about that. But at the end of the day, is that what I worried about with him is that he wasn't just swinging in crosses. He was trying to do too much. And I think he needs to go back to what he was doing that got him into the team in the first place. But I am worried that we're not building, because obviously, if you look at even in the Dalglish days, obviously Ferguson, they are building from when they're at the top. You know, when Van Nistelrooy was going, then you're getting Ronaldo in. When Ronaldo's going in, then you're getting another player. Like, this is not, you can't just rely on these three for a long period of time. But I think that, you know, I don't know if you guys would agree, but I think that until they know the fans can come back, they're not spending any money. Because it leaves apparently about £150 million hole with the fans not, you know, no season tickets being bought.
Yeah, I'd agree with that sensibility, which is another reason why I think in the next 2 weeks that will become clear, because they're thinking early October that we're allowed about 12,500 fans back in the ground. So I think that's why in the next couple of weeks everything will become a lot clearer in terms of outgoings, in terms of the fans coming back. And I think that, for example, that Tsimikas, you know, we looked at him and everyone's like, wow, you know, we didn't even know we were looking at him. Turns out the club were already scouting him for 2 years. And I think, and I remember Klopp saying, you know, we do our business, we plan a year ahead. You know what we're doing a year ahead. So I don't think that, I know it's frustrating for his fans because we don't know anything. And since the Van Dijk saga, the club's very good at keeping things hidden. So we don't tend to hear about it until they want us to. And so it might well be that, and I think this probably is the case, despite being a moaning fan, you know, I want signings. But the truth is, I do believe that behind the scenes, they have got a strategy and they know. And even this talk about Brewster today, I know Kasim touched on it, saying that we need money to sell. But it just kind of made me think, okay, but there's no way they'd be trying to sell him if they weren't trying to buy, put it that way. You know what I mean? There wouldn't be, even be a price tag on him. What are they going to do? Sell him and just keep the money in the bank? It's not really what it's for. Mm. The only reason they'd even consider selling him, if they had a plan of something to do with the money, which in some ways I think is a good thing. Although I do not want to see him leave. I'll add to that.
Cass, do you feel that I mean, just for the people that don't know, apparently there's a rumor that Sky, you know, who are turning into some type of tabloid clickbait, unfortunately. They used to be like the one that we used to actually just go to, you know, to say, okay, well, if Sky are not saying it's true, it ain't true. Now they seem to be, you know, starting this clickbait, you know, rumours.
Oh, man, there goes our Sky sponsorship. Well done.
Yeah, I know. That's the end of that. Oh, yeah. But I do love Sky on any or all other sports that we put out on Virgin.
Their streaming services are great. I love the Sky.
To be honest, yeah. I prefer it to BT, the coverage, the actual coverage of the games. I prefer to BT. I have to say that hands down, personally. I'm just a massive.
That's not me in any form of way.
He's got to deal with BT as well, mate. He can't them off. Who can we snag off?
No. All I'm saying is that they all have their plus points. Sky, the coverage is great. BT, the features on the app and stuff to watch the game, magnificent. Look, there's just...
The transfer centre stuff. I'm just being honest.
Yeah, it's not good.
The actual coverage of the game, you know, to be honest, it's much for much. Like, you know, they are, both of them, to you know, higher quality, you know, coverage of each game. You know, but at the end of the day, so that transfer centre stuff with, I can't remember who the people are. No, I wouldn't.
Kaveh Solikov.
Yeah, and there's another one as well, and it's just like it's just like a dick measuring competition, rather than actually good actual knowledge of
what's
going on.
I know more people than you do. No, I know.
Yes,
more
and look as well, like
in my phone book.
When lastly on that bit, it's just like, you know, when we was talking about this Messi thing, everyone and his dog knew that Messi's not going anywhere at all for any reason at all, but they kept on pushing this narrative that he's going to be going to City, which is a load of nonsense. And it's just like, you know, at the end of the day, it's a political play, and who is spending that type of money on a 33-year-old player? You have to be getting in excess of 100 or maybe 10 million, you know, at a minimum, you know, per season for that, just on shirt sales alone, to even make that worthwhile.
Yeah, no. but
100 million, sorry, not 10
million. You forget that they're owned by A, that shakes, B, Man City. The one problem Man City has is what? Fans, bums on seats. I mean, Man City were playing influencers to go and watch the games and pretend they're having a good time. no joke. Serious, true story, right? They're paying influencers to go enjoy the game, just pretend you're having fun and all this. And what would put bums in seats more than Messi? Not only that, they're a multiple football club group. So the plan apparently was he'd spend 3 years at City, then go to the US, New York City club, and then big it up. So in terms of merch, they can kind of financially make it work. And also they get the bragging rights, say, hey, I've got a message at my club. But I agree with you. It's far-fetched. And a lot of it's there's a lot of clickbaiting going on just to try to keep the, you know, the eyes, the view account up. But Yeah, it's hard to know what to believe anymore, to be honest with you. There's just so much news going on. If it's about Chelsea, then it's definitely going to happen. But anyone else, you're not sure.
Well, I mean, one thing I was actually going to say is that, you know, we're talking about actually money going in. You know, just on a moving on to another subject very smoothly. Nike, that deal was supposed to be worth $100 million a year. Now, again, obviously, I understand the situation. No one could foresee, you know, the situation where fans were not going to be able to globally allowed to be able to be put in, going to the stadiums. You know, we're talking about 14,000 to 15,000. You know, of that's nothing. That's a drop in the ocean compared to what it should be. You know, so obviously the budgets that they've got for, and I'm sure that they planned years ahead. You know, obviously that's going to affect transfers if they can't get the fans in there. But I thought that this Nike deal might be able to soften the blow. But moving aside from the money, how, you know, obviously we're looking at these kits. You know, there's two different kits. There's a Vapor and then there's a regular shirt. One's £100 and the other one's like, you know, they're 70 odd pounds. Are you guys impressed with what Nike have done, presented to the team or to the fans? Yeah, we are both leaving that for you.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's impressed so far. I quite like the blue away kit now. I've started to warm to that one.
Man, don't say that, please.
I've started to warm to that one, but the general design and the style of all our kits are really generic. And I think it's when you see some of the other ones, like even the Palace away one is really nice. And the PSG one, I think we've been raving about that as well. We're nowhere near those standards. We've got quite a generic kit, and we'll be able to sell it and keep those sales up just based on the name of who it is and the champions. But if they don't improve their designs, they're not going to sell many more kits.
Mm. Yeah, I just feel like it was another kick in the teeth for the fans. I mean, we've had a lot of those lately. This kit, we were told, I mean, fans were nervous because they knew that Nike were renowned for this sort of cookie cutter mentality when it comes to their kit. So we were already nervous about the deal, but we thought, okay, you know, it's Nike, it's good money for the club. At least we'll go to transfers and all that kind of stuff. Then we were assured in an article that, you know, they had over 70 templates to choose from the neckline alone to the cuffs, mm-hmm. and the designers have full creative freedom. And so everyone was like, okay, you know, what's good? It's probably going to be something quite good. It'll be different. This is exciting. We're all looking forward to it. Only to see that, you know, it's just like it was the most underwhelming reveal. I think, you know, we would all hope that, okay, Nike, obviously everyone believes that their club's the best club in the world, and us as Red fans are no different. But we do have a certain heritage that not many clubs in the world can boast, and we just at least thought that Nike would give us the respect and do that, give that heritage and that history some real representation in an iconic shirt that, you know, our kids will be buying and look back and want as a retrofit shirt and all that kind of stuff. And I think they just missed out an opportunity there, as well as, you know, I feel a bit let down, if I'm being perfectly honest with you. But it will grow. I mean, when the players wear it, it always looks a lot better. And I've already kind of got over it to a degree, I suppose. And the training kits aren't bad. There's some nice warm-up tops as well, which I quite like. And yeah, but it's not. Yeah, I'm not overly happy, let's be honest with you.
Sam, what do you think?
Nah, I mean, I agree. Some of the hoodies and the warm-up kits are something I would wear, but the main kit is not doing it for me. I think, I mean, we've seen them play in some of them as well, but I think it's going to take a while to get used to. I don't know, like the third one doesn't look great either. So there's just not as bad as Man United's one, but
oh my gosh, zebra
kit
awful.
Wow.
But yeah, we're not at those levels yet. But yeah, I think I don't know what I was expecting, though, because I think we said it beforehand that they do make these generic cookie cutter kits, and we thought they were going to somehow treat us differently. But I think we were mistaken. I think we were going to get exactly the same treatment. I think the backlash, they will listen to it, though. I think that's a good thing, and there's been a very big backlash to it. I think no one's happy with it. So that might
listen to sales. That's what they'll listen to. And if the sales aren't what they want, then
sales will be down anyway. I just hope they don't blame everything that's going on the sales being low. It'll be like, no, the sales are low because you made a shit kit.
Correct. Yeah.
The goalkeeper kit is really nice. Yeah, I'm a big fan of that. Yeah,
that's literally the same kit, though. There's other clubs who have the exact same goalkeeper kit. Exactly
England.
The same. Not
England
even slightly different. Yeah, just change. They just change. Literally change the badges, and that's it. The sponsors change. That's it.
I did think that I was disappointed that we're not going to be getting a different type of kit, you know, because obviously New Balance have, you know, to be honest, you've been really, really good with the kits that they put out, and they've all been quite memorable. Obviously, we've been winning stuff, so obviously we have good fond memories because of that as well. Just as a caveat, but also if you look at another thing is that, you know, just full disclosure, Eli is looking at us getting a, he's still hoping out for us to be getting a Jordan kit. I was part of that bandwagon as well, but now I'm sitting with Kassam, actually being realistic and being like, this is not going to happen. We're not getting another kit. This is, you know, maybe they might roll it out, well, you know, for Champions League.
I was wondering that, and I think this is partly plays into the money thing as well, that I reckon part of the Nike deal would have been us doing a big tour in the US and like getting the players seen in the kit out there and doing some promotional stuff out there and so on. Obviously, that's been knocked on the head. So I'm wondering if they're holding off until next year when they get the players out there and they can have them on like a 2-3 week tour, do the whole of the US. And that might see some more kind of like some of the Jordan kits or maybe an announcement or something like that. I just wonder if there's been something put on hold just because the players can't get out there.
That would make sense. And also as well, I did hear, I don't know if this is true, but I heard that PSG have an exclusive on the Jordan contract till next year, actually. So that would kind of tie in as well. But I mean, it's just that, you know, there's little things. Where, for example, I saw Jordan Henderson, you know, and we're talking about the Jordan Henderson, you know, Mr. England here, you know, wearing a pair of Jordans and promoting Jordans on a, you know, he's a Nike athlete, yes, but promoting Jordans. I mean, I thought, wow, if that isn't a sign that nothing is, I mean, as if you have Jordan Henderson.
Are you still in hope? I mean, are you, what's your percentage now? Where are you now in percentages in hope?
60%.
But what, this year? You think we're going to see it this year?
Well, maybe not full collab, but not this side of the year. If it is 2021, from what I believe, it's not the actual end of the season. So I reckon we could get a little feeler of something to come, you know, to test the waters.
So you feel that there's going to be another form of kit, like a surprise kit, by the end of this season?
I think so. Be something. Also, given our affiliation with LeBron, people say, oh, LeBron this, LeBron, maybe have a LeBron-type collection because he's got his own trainer and stuff like that. But what I've seen is his brand, they don't seem to really push his brand as strong as they do the Jordan brand, which they know is, you know, is has some real good traction globally. So I see it being another Jordan-style product. But who knows? I mean, Nike have a lot of assets. They have a lot of clients. We were sponsored. We had a collaboration with Levi's last year. You know, and Nike work with Converse and all kinds of brands. So who knows? It could be anything. They might just go completely off piece for us and just give us something completely different. But now I am being optimistic.
I know. Yeah. And now the other end of the scale, Cass, what's your percentage?
the only thing I can say is I they have sometimes done another kit away for the Champions League. So I don't know if they've got something up their sleeve for that. It seems unlikely, though, because obviously all the time scales. And again, you want to debut these things on the biggest platform. You want the fans to see it. I just think that whole big reveal has been put on hold. And I'm being an optimist now. I'm being an Eli.
Yes, Cass. Right? I love it, man. I love it.
Nah, mate. Yeah. Tell me about Navicator again. I'll bring it down.
back one more on that, on addition to what Cass said just there, is all the other night teams' third kits came out, like, was it yesterday or the day before? But ours didn't, so we are getting slightly better. Can I call it better? Different.
Well, because we came out first.
We came out first, but with an awful kit.
No. I'm saying our third kit hasn't been officially released yet. But the other clubs are all third kits.
Ah, but I think we've seen the leaks I've seen have been quite.
Yeah, okay, but I'm saying.
Are we talking about the black and white kit? Are we talking about? Is this the one with the checks?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But I don't know if it is that, you know, because. Because I've seen two kits that we're supposed to have as a third kit, and so what's I don't know. One like? It's like the purple, wasn't it? It's like black with the purple.
Oh, no, I've been that.
Yeah. Anyway, but that one, yeah, to like that one is. But all I'm saying is that you know all the other teams, Chelsea's third kit, Spurs' third kit, Barcelona's third kit, all got released like 2 days ago, but ours didn't. And I'm just thinking, okay, they're going to do something a bit more special for us. Again, I'm being hopelessly optimistic, but, you know, as New Balance would say, this means more.
Well, all right. Well, let's put a pin in the kit talk, because I want to see. I'm maybe 20%. I'm getting down to now, because you know. But the lifestyle stuff for Nike has been very, very good. I've been very impressed with that. The commercial that they put out, amazing. Like, I don't Beautiful. Think we've seen a better commercial that you know, kind of, you know, touches everything that is all things Liverpool. Obviously, we're not Scousers, but, you know, we're Scousers adjacent, and we felt like we connected with that advert quite a lot. So we'll see. Please, Nike, do something, because, like,
please,
you know, you can't have Barcelona having them serious kits and then us having, you know, what we've got, which is meh in the moment. Yeah. All right, let's talk about, like, potential breakout stars that we've seen in the preseason. Obviously, towards the end of last season.
Is this for Liverpool, or is this for in general in the league?
No, only for Liverpool, since right, okay. We are Liverpool fans and it's a Liverpool podcast.
That's how pessimistic he is.
Well, I am second guessing it. Yeah, because there's not much that I reckon.
Oh, come on, man.
Who's going to be the breakout?
Right, who you got, Ellie? Who you got?
Ellie's got Nico Williams. He's got Nico Williams on there.
No, please don't. You can't be. No, you cannot. You have to put a pin in Nico. No, you cannot.
Look, hey, guys, please. I'm not that optimistic. I'm a realist as well. But I will say, I think Curtis Jones could have a big season. I think he's already proven in pre-season that he doesn't look out of place and he can have an impact. He scored, okay, I know it was a dead rubber pretty much when he came on, but he did score when he came on in the league at the end of last year. And obviously when he played recently, I know it was against Blackpool, I know. But he did, he was very influential, confident and dictated play. And he is that kind of player. I know, Cas, you mentioned it earlier and you as well, Drake, but in the one that can play a bit more of a number 10, a bit more like Coutinho-like. And he doesn't shoot as much Coutinho, but he can shoot. We've seen that obviously against Everton in the FA Cup, which is an absolute banger. But he's got that in his locker. And so I'd go... If I was tricking one, I'd put my hat on him for the next season.
But like breakout in what? Like, he's going to play more than 10 games?
Cas, come on, man.
He's not going to play more than 10 games. He's not going to get
Curtis Jones?
Yeah, he's not going to get more than 10 proper games. He might get like 5 minutes at the end of a game or something like that, but he's not going to start.
No, but are we talking about appearances, or are you talking about...
No, like, I mean, like a proper breakout. So like last year, who was our breakout from the first team? Who would be the breakout from last year? I don't think there was anyone that really broke through and made it last year. Yet season before, then you're talking about players like Trent came through, Robertson started really establishing himself, but no one really fancied him for sure. So like, if you go back a few seasons, they're proper breakout stars. If you look at United last year, you would say Greenwood. I don't think he's that good. I don't think he's as good as everyone's rating him, but he was what you would call a legit breakout star. I don't think we've got anyone who at that level who's going to come through, start 10 games and become a regular by next season. I don't think there's anyone on our books that's going to do that.
I don't think, I'm not saying he will start, because he definitely won't, but I think that we need to be able to keep an eye on, and I know you guys are going to laugh at me because I'm always mentioning him.
I know where we're going. Oh, no. Say it, mate.
But Harvey Elliott,
oh no, that's even worse. I thought you were going to talk about the other brother, the big guy.
Who? Oh, please. Oh, come on.
Like, I rate him more than Harvey Elliott.
No,
come on.
People
now.
Are going. People, like, okay. Liverpool fans who've seen him play against, like, you know, a couple of players, a couple of teams that were half fit. Like, I'm not saying that he's not good. He's definitely good, but he's like 17. Relax. You know, like, come on, like, what's happening.
But then you say about Harvey's the same age.
Harvey's serious. Harvey's a serious talent. Now, I think that because he does get minutes on the pitch, he does, he's always in the first team. You know, I think that he's got a talent that is different to other people's. I think that he keeps the ball moving a lot more or quicker than Curtis Jones. I think Curtis Jones is very good. What I was worried about with him is that he slows down the play too much. You know, he's not just like a, you know, all right, get the ball, do something quick. You know, it's like, get the ball slow, take on a player, look around, take on a player. I think it's too much like Grealish, you know, that type of style that doesn't suit us. So when he starts moving the ball quicker, because he's definitely got the talent to do so, then I would say, all right, cool. I'll get on that bandwagon. But I think with Harvey in it, he just does what's necessary. I haven't seen him do anything that is like, you know, showboaty or extra or anything like that.
He's showboats, but he's got massive footballing acumen. He's for his age, his football intelligence, Harvey Elliott, is off the charts. Off the chart. You can just see it. He is one of those, provided his body can keep up with his mind, he'll be a top player.
Just a question for you. Yeah, go on.
I was going to say, my pick for this, if he stays, is Brewster. I think he's the only He's the only one that could come through. Hasn't played that many games for us so far, but we know his talent. I reckon if he gets a run of games, he'll get a few goals and start really pushing the front three. That's all dependent on him staying, though. Like, if he goes, then I think we'll regret it. And if he stays and give him the games, I think he'll become...
I just don't see any logical sense why you would build this guy up, see him banging loads of goals last season, unless we're getting something. If we're getting... If they're putting all the pennies together for us to be able to get Sancho, then I will drive Brewster anywhere he needs to go. But I just can't see it's been logical, and that's where if that doesn't happen, I lose credibility. Sky, the transfer center loses credibility. Full stop. And you can only announce things when it's actually done. Don't talk about any gossip and rumors because you're always far off. You know, I'd listen to more. Other reputable outlets rather than them.
I will say about Brewster, though, cast your mind back to a couple of seasons ago. There was a young guy, young England striker, tearing it up, called Dominic Solanke. We signed him, right? Had a pre-season, scored goal after goal after goal. Remember? And we were like, oh, that's Origi, get rid of Origi. And do you remember Solanke stayed, right? And remember what happened?
We made money on Solanke.
I'm not saying we didn't make money, but I'm saying we could make money on Brewster, but that's not the point. The point is he actually going to deliver for the team, which is what we want? And I love Brewster, and I believe I'm the same as Cass. I actually think Cass picked the best one out of the three of us, if I'm being honest. I genuinely think you're right. But I'm just saying that, just to play the other side as well, is that when Solanke was scoring for fun in pre-season, scoring for fun for England, you know, young ret, we thought, okay, Storigi, you can do one, went on loan to Wolfsburg, wherever, Solanke stayed. And he scored one goal in the final game of the season. That was his only goal he got for us. And then we ended up selling him and making a bit of money. But, you know, it just goes to show that sometimes these things don't actually pan out the way they might seem to us. Trust Klopp on that one, I suppose. But, like, I personally want him to stay. I think he could be the truth. But let's give him time, I suppose.
Well, we'll have to see who... I mean, it just baffles my brain why it's even a gossip. Brewster to be going, because obviously we've been talking him up for such a long time. The little bits I've seen of him, obviously playing in the Championship, he's a natural finisher. And even pre-season, he had a half chance, against, I can't remember who the team was. Anyway, pre-season game, natural finish. I think he scored two.
Salzburg.
So I'm sorry, like it makes no sense. Now, if we're gonna have a conversation next week about, you know, be it him or Origi, then that's different, because obviously, you know, no one's completely sold on Origi as a backup striker to come on. But then also, I'm not sold on Brewster as yet, because I haven't seen him play in the team. Right, so let's move on. Lastly, to obviously Saturday. First game of the season, which is weird because I feel like it literally just the last one just ended. But 3 o'clock, we've got our first game against Leeds at home. Now, guys, can you give me your lineups? I'll start with Ellie.
Okay, obviously Ali has to start. And I'm confident that Van Dijk and Gomez... I mean, I know I'm... Don't get me wrong. If Matip, actually, at this point in time, if Matip had played a little bit more, I would have actually preferred Matip alongside Van Dijk. But given Gomez has actually played a lot of football, I'll stick with Gomez on this. Obviously, Robbo, yes, he's been away from Scotland, but he had a great game for us against Arsenal. And Trent played for England, so he has to play, because we just don't have an option on that side, as far as I'm concerned. In the middle is where it gets a bit contentious. I saw Henderson training today. If he can play, it's definitely going to be Fabinho, Henderson and Keita for me. I think at the moment, given the midfielders we have, for me, that's our strongest three, our most balanced three. If Hendo can't play and Genie's still here, it'll be Genie, Fabinho and Keita for me as the three. And the front three is so, we have so little backup that I don't even need to say. You know, that just sums it up. You know, Firmino, Salah, Mane, and that's what I think will happen.
Cass?
Yeah, pretty much the same. I don't think there's any chance that Henderson will play. He's not played a minute in pre-season or, you know, really got his... And he is someone who needs a few games just to get going. So I don't think we'll play him in the first game back. So otherwise, I think it'll be Fabinho, Keita and Genie will get a game. Yeah, I think, Keita will, you know, he's still to impress me. I haven't seen what you guys have seen yet. But he did finish last season well. He played quite well in pre-season as well. So I think, I agree. If Henderson's not fit, that's our strongest three.
None of you feel that Taki will, Minamino will start?
Not this game. Maybe. Yeah. Klopp's too safe. Klopp doesn't like risks like that. Remember the days of Milner, Henderson and Wijnaldum every game? You know, he likes it safe, you know? I just don't think he was going to mess with it for the first game.
I'm not sure he's going to play Trent, you know, in this game. Mm. So I think he's going to go with Gomez on the right, Matip in the middle, and then he'll bring on Trent later on for minutes, because I think that's a strong enough back line to be able to, obviously with Van Dijk and Robertson, as per usual. I think that we're looking at, I think Keita's done enough. I don't know what more he can do to be able to get a start in place. I mean, Jesus, you know. So it'll be him, Genie and Fabinho. Taki, only if he was going to actually, you know, change the actual formation. So if he was going to do a 4-3-2-1, then obviously Taki would start. It wouldn't be Klopp to be able to do that, just judging from past start of the seasons, for him to be messing around in the first game of the season. So I will leave Taki on the bench and obviously normal front three. I can't see... Trent not playing any pre-season games with us and then suddenly just starting the first game of the season. It just doesn't really seem like something he would do.
He played like 90 minutes for England pretty much today, though. So,
yeah, but that's England.
Yeah. It's
like terrible team, terrible right. Football.
But I mean, at least it shows he's fit. That's what I'm saying. You know, he's fit.
Well, I mean, the most important game for us is obviously to make a mark and to as a message to the rest of the league is for us to be able to beat Chelsea. Yeah. You beat Chelsea, then that's protecting the throne.
But that's so, assuming that we're going to beat Leeds.
Come on, Cass.
Wow.
I think the marker is get that first game in.
Do you think there's a chance that we might beat Leeds?
I think there's a chance we'll start slowly. I think there's a chance that he's gonna have to change something to get a result, but I do think we'll get a result.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about, like a 1-0?
I think 2-1 maybe.
You think they're gonna score against us?
Yeah, I think they'll score.
Look what we're dealing with.
Oh, you know what? I should laugh.
He's not the pessimist.
No, I should laugh at Leeds fans because they but you ain't going to score. Also, no.
See, Cass goes 2-1. I'll go 4-0. And then Drayle goes
1-0. Wow. I'm going to go with a safe 2-0.
Yeah, see? There you go.
That's a nice drop. That's a job done, man. I'm obviously moving on to Chelsea. I mean, you know, if Trent does start and he's fit enough to be able to start, then God help them, you know, to be honest with you. But I think that everyone else has done pre-season. I can't see him just being like, all right, cool. That's giving someone a different level of treatment, you know?
Like you said, with Gomez as a good option outright, actually, he's solid. And you know, he knows it. He's played there in pre-season already. So, like you said, and Matip's had a couple of games in pre-season. Well, he won full game, isn't it, in pre-season. And he looked pretty comfortable in that game as well. So, yeah, who knows?
Gomez has to get his I think there's a problem with form at the moment.
Definitely.
And I think that he's doing a lot of things like hugging and all these types of stuff that he's doing that is not the stuff that he normally does. Like, normally he's like, you know, his timing is usually impeccable. He'll just, you know, lay off the player and block last minute, easy. But there's something going on, obviously. It could be so many games needing rest. But this is the type of thing that we need other players from coming from, you know. But Nico Williams did score a goal during the weekend.
Oh, man, leave that guy out. Man.
Yeah, but so did Ben Woodburn. Remember him? Yeah,
he scored as well.
No, a while back, but he scored a banger for Wales.
I forgot he still played for us sometimes.
Yeah, mate, that's my point. You know, he was a wonder kid. So, you know, when they score for Wales, and Harry Wilson scored proper bangers for Wales. So, I mean, it's not necessarily a given for success. But but I think he's got time. I think Nico's got time. Okay, all right, well, Harry. Harry Wilson, what do you think?
The
final word. Is he out the
door? Yeah, because he's been, but he's been. I think he's been. Well, he's been injured, hasn't he? So
he was training today, though. He's training today, actually, with us.
As I said, like, unless there's something. Well, yeah, what I do love about Klopp is it's not quite obvious what he's going to do, because for all we know, Shaq could be going out and he could be like, listen, this guy. You know, Harry Wilson could be the person to be coming off the bench. I mean, we've got a stacked bench. We've, you know, if you look at when Ox comes back, you know, Hendo's back soon. So I think what we're doing is we're getting into panic mode. You know, the more I think about it, and we've actually got like a stout bench. The only thing that we're missing at the moment is more attacking options off the bench. But that being said, Taki could come in, you know, and start showing people why we've actually bought him. It's only because we haven't bought a Werner or someone like that, then people are threatened. But again, Brewster could be a person who just comes off the bench and starts scoring, banging in goals as well. You know, we'll see. But I, you know, I'm not as worried, but I'm just a bit more frustrated, because obviously we all like to see new, fresh faces in our kit. You know, exactly. And if we get Thiago, even Cass would say, the league is done. You might as well just give us a trophy now.
I mean, that guy's he's a metronome. He could take us from being able to win those games 2-1 to winning them like 3-4, you know, because he's just that good at controlling the tempo of the game. When we go ahead, one of the things we do is switch off, especially midfield, and we can't control the ball. And that's why we concede. And someone like him could just keep possession, recycle it, move us forward at such ease that he could honestly just make our lives as fans a lot easier.
Well, look at Cass, if you look at like Bayern Munich, for example, you saw their bench. Like, their bench is stacked too, you know, and they're still
taking. They've got even better. They got Leroy Sané now as well. Add that onto their. I think they'll win the Champions League again, to be honest with you. But
I think they
what about us, mate? Come on, lads. We haven't even kicked off. Cass, we're winning the Champions League. Don't give me that. The time we got to the final, Cass, okay, let's be honest. Okay, first of all, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Did you think we were going to win the league at the start of last year?
No, I didn't.
Be honest.
I'm being honest. I when they let go of Kompany, when Kompany went away, then I just didn't see who else was to be able to threaten us. And obviously, you know, Lampard was a new manager. United shit. So
it was always going to be between City and Liverpool. I just thought,
but that's the leader. That's the person who drags him. Kompany is good for 6 points in a season that are out of the blue, nowhere. Yeah, like, you'll save them again. Like, you know, obviously, I will always go on to this day that he should have been sent off against us for taking down Salah. Like, those types of things that he would do. He's so important to them, and they haven't been able to, like, even this season, I'm not really fussed about City, because they haven't really addressed their defensive problems. Again, only if they don't get Koulibaly. If they get him, then that's a different high level, you know, Van Dijk level type of defender. Yeah. But if you're telling me Nathan Aki is your the person that's going to save your souls, I'm not really buying it personally.
Yeah, I agree. No, but all I'm saying is that I think this team has a habit of surprising you. Even the season we got to Champions League the first time, you know, we didn't think we had the team on paper to do it, and we did it. So I'm just saying that from my point of view, I'll end it on this, really, is that whatever happens this season, I've learned from the way Klopp does things. I've learned from this team. It's never underestimate them and never underestimate Klopp. Like, you know, every year this year they've come and surprised us with something incredible, whether it's been the Champions League final or this year the Premier League title. You know, so I, for now, I'm just going to say, okay, I'm disappointed in terms of the signings from a fan point of view, but I'm excited as what this incredible team can do next because they always seem to surprise us.
It's a very, very nice, warm way for us to be able to end this podcast. Cass, you got any last words this week?
Well, I'll put a downer on it if I say something.
Oh, Lord.
I don't know if I should, but like, I mean, the only thing I would say about Klopp is that his end at Dortmund saw a massive drop-off. But there was a massive drop-off from like Champions League finals and winning the league twice, beating Bayern. There was a big drop-off, and that would be my only worry about, you know, saying trusting Klopp. Like, yeah, but he got sacked from Dortmund in the end. Like, there's no guarantee that if we
didn't he leave?
Him, nah, they came to a mutual agreement, but they were like in the relegation zone.
It was a longer time though. That was like, was that 7 years though?
Yeah, it was a long stretch of time. But I'm saying,
yeah, we've not got to that time yet.
You can drop from those highs. You can come down from those big highs. And it's just a little warning that like having been there is not the answer. It's not the be all and end all. That, you know, you've got something guaranteed if you got Klopp at the top.
I'm glad that you know, for those who listened, thank you for listening through it, and thank you for you know, I think you are getting to know all the three sides of our personalities here, all loving Liverpool, but very different views on the future, present, you know. And let's see who's right for next week. Guys, thank you again for joining us. You know, really appreciate it. And Red or Dead will be back next week. Fingers crossed with a 2-0 victory. So I'll be right. And, you know, we'll move on to Chelsea and I'll start talking my shit then. Peace.
Thanks, Drake. Cheers, guys. Bye.